Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good morning, everybody. This is Ken Shepherd. Thanks very much for coming back and being part of this or listening to it in the archives. We're getting some great response. People are excited, and we're excited to have them with us and have you with us today. The guest call-in number, if you want to call into the show, is 347-989-1329. I want to read a bit of a disclaimer, and then we'll go from there. Okay, so here's the disclaimer. This is legal stuff I have to do. This show is intended only for the listeners. All information presented on investments contained in the show has been secured from sources Creative Flips, Inc. and Ken Shepherd believes are reliable, but we make no representations or warranties expressed or implied as to the accuracy of the information. The views, opinions, conclusions, and other information expressed in the show are not the responsibility of Creative Flips, Inc. or Ken Shepherd in any manner. Creative Flips or Ken Shepherd accepts no liability for the content of this email, of this show. Or for the consequences of any actions taken on the basis of the information provided. Creative Flips and Ken Shepherd recommends that you consult with a financial advisor, attorney, accountant, or any other professional that can help you understand and assess the risks associated with any investment opportunity. So now that we have that out of the way, you can reach us 24/7 at our office, 310-358-7087. During California business hours at my cell, 818-585-9706. 24/7, you can join us on Twitter, and the Twitter feed is @, Ken, KenSheppard. And let's see, what else can I share with you before we start on our show? The website is www.creativeflips.webs.com, flips like flipping a pancake, webs like a spider web. The most important tabs are probably the resume and accomplishments tabs. We recently closed $26 million in business, and we just put up a soft proof of funds for up to $500 million in the recent past to purchase distressed real estate assets on behalf of our office and those that are our investment partners and funding capital sources that we work with on deal flow. So I thought it might be interesting today to talk a little bit about my very, very first deal and what that was like for me. And I wrote an article about this, which I sent to a number of different blog sites, but I'll kind of tell the story in my own words over and above what the article says. When I first started in property, I really didn't even have an idea how a real estate sign got on a house. I really didn't. And I had to learn that by just kind of hit and miss as we went along. But the thing that I did have in my background was that I'd done a lot of sales in my life, all the way back to when I was a kid in junior high school and needed money for a music camp I wanted to attend. I went out and started a window washing service, which I then sold to a local janitor. It was my first business sale. My parents thought that was pretty funny. And I made enough money to pay for my music camp and much more. And that was the beginning of my introduction to working with business and finance and people and deals and things like that. And it really excited me. So when I first started, I took a course, like a lot of folks, learning how to buy property. It was a course run by a gentleman who eventually ended up, I believe, leaving the industry and now has a wine business by the name of Dave Deldotto. And, you know, he kept saying, and then there was a couple others that I took about probate and some different stuff. So I was, you know, kind of in that whole genre or time period of learning and getting my education base, which I think is very important. And then starting to exercise and take action based on what I've learned. And the one thing I did learn, no matter what business you're in, as I've said before, and I'll say over and over again, you'll hear it from us, is take action, make things happen, don't be afraid to try. If you don't know something, ask either us or anybody else. And but the most important thing is to try and never be afraid to fail. Because once you fail, you'll succeed because you'll learn more from your failures than you certainly ever will from your successes. So when I first started in real estate, I learned about motivated sellers, and I started calling out of the paper, and that kind of was a little interesting. I found that they call back and they yell and scream a lot because I was offering like half of what they were asking, so I got a separated phone number for $5 a month so they could call there and yell and scream there, and then I returned the calls and talked to them, and sometimes we were actually able to make some progress, but I wasn't able to close. I wasn't able to learn what's to get to the closing table. I learned a little bit about how to talk to people. I fumbled around, and some of them knew it. Some of them were brokers and real estate agents, and some of them were private people that were just selling a property. But I think in a lot of cases, they knew I was new. And so I didn't really know if that was the best route for me. And I didn't see that you were getting the kinds of discounts I was looking for, that I could sell the property to an investor because I had no money, or sell the property to, I don't know, anybody that would want to buy it. So what I did was I started getting the lists of all the people in foreclosure. And I got that list from a service. There was a service in Los Angeles that supplied the list. I paid a fee for it. It was pretty comprehensive information. It showed the address of the property, the name of the owner, and such like that. But it did not show the phone number. And what I wanted to do is find something for me. And people are different. Some people are not good with the phone, but I have a lot of sales experience, so I was comfortable in that environment. And I wanted something that had phone numbers on it. Well, this particular list did not have phone numbers, so I had to research those, get a reverse directory. This was well before the internet, back in the 1980s, so I had to get a big, big reverse directory and one by one get the phone numbers out of the reverse directory. So I did that, and remember, I had no money at this time. So I started getting some phone numbers, and then I matched the phone numbers to the property address, or sometimes I would try and find somebody that had the same name and see if they knew the person who owned the property. But I tried different things to get to the phone number. That was the key to me. And I found some of them. And so what I did is I started calling them up, and I wrote a little kind of an overview of what I wanted to say. And essentially what I basically said was that I've been involved in real estate for a little while, and that I had an interest in purchasing their house or helping them buy their house. Now, at this point, I didn't even know about loans and all that stuff. I just knew about buying property. So I would call, and little by little, I honed my presentation and reached the point where I realized quickly that what they wanted to hear was, how can you solve my problem? Some just hung up on you and said, I've got it taken care of and such like that. And that involved tracking them and learning about whether they were still in foreclosure or not, which we'll get into later. But just right now, to keep it simple, what we did was I made a bunch of phone calls and finally got an 800 number, as I said, so people could call me back 24/7, which is, I think, very important because some people work at night and they want to be able to reach you, at least get out to reach you. Because if they're going to reach out to you, that's a great sign because it means they're interested in talking to you. So I had no idea whether they had equity in their property at this point. I had taken one other course that showed you how to find out if they do have equity, which we'll go into again in a later conversation. But for the sake of this one, I found some properties that I thought might be a possibility, and I started calling people up. So and I got better and better at it, like you do with anything else. If you continue to try and you continue to do the same thing over and over again, hopefully you get a different result. If you keep getting the same result, you should probably try something different. But I was learning more and more and getting more comfortable. And by the time I'd made like 30 or 40 calls, I was really pretty much in the groove of, you know, calling people up and saying, hi, I'm just interested in helping you purchase your house. I understand you may have some issues going on. I never said, hey, you're in default and you're losing your property. I would be very gentle, which I think is very important with people, and say, you know, is there some way I can help you? Doesn't cost you anything. I'm happy to see if I can help you. of course, a lot of them, you know, said, I don't need any help, or I've got to take it care of, or I need a loan. And I didn't even know anything about loans at that time. So I said, well, you need a loan. Let me look into that. I don't know. I'll get back to you. So I learned over a period of time about loans. But for the sake of this call, again, let's stay focused and talk about what happened to me. So eventually, as anything happens when you're making a lot of phone calls, I finally found somebody who really wanted to hear the story. And she had a property. She was in trouble, was in a very not so great area, not so bad, kind of near the Los Angeles airport. So I talked with her, and I was pretty scared because I really didn't know what I was doing. And here I am talking to an owner that's in foreclosure and trying to figure out how in the world am I going to help this lady out. So I told her, I said, well, we have money available to us. And that to me meant money available. God knows where it would come from, but or gosh knows where it would come from. But we had money available to us through, of course, you know, anything I could think of to find it. And I had no idea where to find it at that point, which I think is not a great idea, actually. In retrospect, you should always find the money first. But I didn't. And I started making the calls to find the properties because I always had heard, if you find the properties, you'll find the money. Well, okay, fine. So I started making the calls, and I found this lady, and I talked to her, and I went through a script that I had put together, and then I had a question and answer kind of thing from one of the courses I'd taken on, you know, what questions to ask, and I really had no idea, and I think she knew a little bit that I didn't have any idea, but she was kind of new at it. I was kind of new at it. She knew she had a problem and did not want to stay in the property, and I knew that I wanted to try and buy the property. Well, it turned out the property was worth about $95,000, and she owed like $57,000 or so, I think is what it was. Didn't have very much trouble with it. I went over and visited it, new carpet paint, but she had taken very nice care of it. She had just fallen into a situation where she just couldn't make the payments anymore. She was, I think she lost her job or somebody was ill, I don't recall. And she's very nice. And so when I went over there, I thought, uh-oh, I better make sure I'm really nicely dressed. So I put on a shirt and slacks, not a tie. So I don't think that's, I think people get a take it back when you show up too dressed, but I dressed nicely and I went over to her house and just talked with her. And I also realized when I started talking with her that the first thing people want to do is talk about things that interest them. They don't want to talk about their problems. So I looked around her house and I looked for things that I thought might be conversation points. And I found a trophy on her ceiling on her mantle. And I said, what's that trophy? And so she told me, oh, it's my son. He had swimming or something, was swimming. I don't remember. I think diving, whatever. And so we started talking about it. And I knew nothing about swimming or diving, but I certainly knew that her son was interested in that. And I knew she was interested in her son. So I talked about it a little bit. And that gave her a little more comfort. And then she offered me would you like a glass of water or a soda? And I said, yeah, sure. Just, you know, maybe a glass of water would be great. And so we just talked for a few minutes. And then I said to her, the thing that I think is so important when you're in these kind of conversations, and then you really just have to sit back and listen. And really the question I asked her was, how did this happen to you? Because everybody has a story, and each story is different. And believe me, I was frightened to death because I had no idea what I was doing, but I was just trying to use everything I had learned and the skills I had. I didn't have any mentors at the time. I was just really all on my own. But I knew that there had to be a way if I just kept going and if I was honest and ethical and talking with people, which I was adept at doing, because I had done a lot of sales in my life. And I said, you know, what happened to you? And she proceeded to tell me, you know, and she talked for about 10 minutes about what happened to her and her family and this and that. Somebody, I guess, had to leave the area because they were, you know, needed to get medical attention. I don't recall, actually, the whole story. It was many, many years ago. It was in the mid-1980s, actually, 30 years ago, 35 years ago. So I sat with her. We talked for a few minutes, and then I said to her, okay, you know, how can I help you? Because now she'd gone through her story, and we pretty much had reached the end of that. And she said, well, I really don't think I can afford the house. I said, okay. And I said, well, what do you want to do with the house? She said, well, maybe you'd like to buy it. I said, wow, that'd be pretty interesting. So we started talking about it, and she owed us, I said, like $57,000, I think was the number, I don't remember. And I said to her, I said, well, I can buy your house, but I can't give you very much money because I have to make a profit and I have to sell the house and fix it up and all that stuff, and it needs carpet and paint, and it needs to, I started thinking about all the things I'd learned and all the courses I'd ever taken. You know, you need a agent to resell it, and you have to pay commissions, and you have to fix up the house. And it's not probably worth what I think it's worth, and all the things you say to reduce the price so that people understand that it's not worth as much as they think it is. And I said to her, so based on that, how can I help you? What is it you need? She goes, well, I just need money to move. I said, really? She goes, yeah. I said, well, how much do you think that is? She goes, I don't know, maybe $1,000 or something. So I think, if I recall right, we agreed that I'd give her $1,000 to move and that I would take over the house. Now, I didn't really want to take over the loans because they weren't in my name, and I don't like taking over loans from people that, I don't like taking over a loan when the loan's not in my name, because that's really not fair to the lender unless you have lender's permission, because I've now been on both sides for many years, and I can say that. But at the time, I really didn't know what I was doing, and so I started with just getting her to fill out some papers that I found in one of my courses, a thing that allowed me to talk to the bank in kind of a very simple agreement for her to sell me the house. And then I thought, well, how am I going to put up a deposit on this house? I didn't have any money to put up a deposit. But I remembered somewhere in my notes about a thing called a promissory note. So I looked that up, and I sure enough realized that I could make an offer to her to purchase the property. Instead of giving her cash, I could give her a promissory note. And I asked her, I said, well, could I give you a promissory note? And I explained to her what that was, to have some time to decide if I want to buy the property. She goes, well, how long do you need? I said, gosh, I don't know, maybe a week, 2 weeks? So we worked it out, and I remember, I think it was about 10 days that she gave me, and I gave her a promissory note that I wrote up from this book. I had no idea what I was doing, like I said. You guys are probably laughing about this point, but maybe not. And then she signed the promissory note, and I said, oh, my gosh, okay. So I started thinking about, now what do I do? So I, finished up the paperwork with her, and I had the promissory note in my hand, and I left her house after looking around her house. I had no idea what I was looking at, but I looked around at her house. So I ended up going home and thinking about it. On the way home, I thought, how am I going to find a buyer? So now I told her I have the money to buy her house, and I have to help her get straightened out. So what I did is, at the time, the best way to, I thought, find buyers, and I didn't know any, was look in the paper for people that have money that they wanted to put into real estate. I had no idea what I was doing. So I looked in the area of the paper called Real Estate Wanted, and I found a guy. I called about four or five guys and told them the situation without giving them the address. Don't give people the address even if you have a property tied up, because they could possibly take it from you if they're not really honest. However, you can certainly give them the address, I guess, if you have a contract. So I didn't give the address, but then I found this guy, and he had $50,000, and he wanted to invest in property, and he was a contractor, and he didn't have the time to go look for property. And so we started talking, and I said to him that I had found this property, and he said, okay, well, let's go look at it. I thought, oh, my goodness, how do I do this now? So I made an appointment with him. We went and looked at the property. He was probably a little more green about it than even I was, and I was about as green as they come when it comes to this stuff. So we introduced ourselves to the owner because we had the permission, and we got an appointment with her to look at the property. I told her he was my partner, which he was agreeing to be, which was, I thought, amazing, because he put up all the money. I found the property, but he would do the work, and we would resell the property. So he decided to invest with me eventually after looking at the property. I thought, oh, my God, now I've got the money. What do I do next? So I called up the bank and told them we were going to buy the property, and they said that was fine. And I said, well, what would you like us to do to buy the property? And the guy sounded on the phone, well, you're buying the property, don't you know? But I didn't know. So he said, well, you probably should go and open up an escrow. So I thought, okay, well, how do I do that? So I called up some local real estate agents that are near the property, and I asked them, is there an escrow company that you guys recommend near you that you like? Because real estate people have to use escrows, I found out. So I found an escrow company. I talked to two or three and interviewed them. I found one that I liked, and we started talking to them and had them help me with the file, and they could see I was really had no idea what I was doing. And but they were kind of helping me through the process. And people will help you if you just ask them, especially if they see you're new and you're trying. So we ended up pulling out the title policy, and I had no idea what I was reading. And I said to the guy who was the title guy or the escrow person, I said, "Can you tell me if this is okay to buy?" He goes, "Well, it looks okay to me." And I said, "Okay, well, I guess it's okay to you, and you're a professional, and can you check with the title company, make sure it's okay with them?" He goes, "Yeah." So he called the title company. The title company said it looked okay to them, looked okay to everybody. So it looked okay to me, and it looked okay to the investor. So we ended up buying the property. So then we had the property in our name. We fixed it up. We spent some money turning it, you know, making it better for market and stuff. It was vacant at the time. We gave the lady $1,000 to move out. And I remember doing that and shaking her hand when she left and thinking, okay, now what do I do? Well, we fixed up the property, and it turned out there were a couple of things that we learned as we went through this process that made it hard to sell the property. One of those was that the property was not zoned as a residential property. I never got to check zoning. I was just brand new at this. It turned out it was on industrial land, and therefore it couldn't be sold through FHA, which is where most of the properties were being sold at the time in the area, and it had to be sold conventional. A lot of the conventional lenders don't want to lend on an industrial zoning, and nobody wants to move into an industrial zoning. So I said, oh, my God, what do I do now? So, you know, we listed the property with a local broker, and it took a while, and we put the ads in the paper and did all the right things to try and sell the property. And my partner was pretty understanding because he had no idea what he was doing, and eventually we found out that as soon as we found out, I talked to him about it, and I said, you know, this property's not zoned for residential. He goes, what? It's a single-family house. I said, yeah, but it's on an industrial zoning lot because everything around it was industrial. And who knows? I didn't know, which gives you another reason you have to talk to professionals every time you do a transaction. But I was learning, as I said. So we bought the property. We started to sell it, and we couldn't sell it. And so what happened was eventually – after not being able to sell it for a while, and I was going on and looking at other deals at this point, at the same time trying to sell this one, I kept doing the same thing, and I ran into another deal with a guy who had a third mortgage, which is behind a first loan, which is recorded first, the second loan is recorded second, his third loan was recorded third. And to make a long story short, and we'll go into more details later, I made him an offer to buy the note on the property, the third. He had $1,000 when it was an $11,000 loan. And he called me over to his house, and I met with him. He says, you think I want to, you know, you have a very big, beautiful home with a million, it might be a $5 million house or something at the time, I don't know. And so I sat with him in his house, and he said, I'm not going to sell you the loan because I don't need to, but I'd like to give you $500,000 to invest in properties with me. And I'll put up all the money, and you do all the work, and you find the properties, and we'll split the profits. And I thought, holy moly, I got a guy with $500,000, and he just offered me. And this is when I had no idea what I was doing, really. But I had found two or three other properties that I kind of liked, and I didn't know how to put them together. And to make a long story short, because I have about 6 minutes left, we ended up doing a number of properties together, including this one that was the first one I bought. And he helped us carry the property until we had to get a loan on it. I think we got a loan on it. I don't remember, but we had money that we had to carry on it and pay for it as we went along, and so he covered that. And when it was all over, we actually did not make a profit on that particular house. However, because I was working with him on other deals that were very profitable, and I've learned more as I had gone along, when we combined that house with other houses we were doing, we were way into profit. And so he was willing to work with us on helping us take the loss on this first one. Well, we made money on the second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, and other ones. So that particular property was sold eventually to a guy who didn't care about the zoning. And we gave him a good deal. So he was happy. We needed to sell the house at that point because we carried it for a while. So. But we did lose money on it because we couldn't find a buyer because of the zoning. So a lot of lessons came out of that for me. Number one, always check the title report. Always check the zoning. Make sure it's the kind of zoning for that neighborhood. Do your research. Talk to title and escrow people. Make sure that it was a clear title and it was perfect as far as the title company was concerned. It was perfect as far as the escrow company was concerned. But nobody told us about the zoning issue. So anyway, so we found out about that. We did that property. It was quite a challenge. It was also on the approach path to the Los Angeles International Airport. You could actually see people in the plane, almost literally. You could see the bottom of the plane. It was that close to the runway, probably maybe no more than 5 minutes away from the runway. So they were pretty close when they came down. And I didn't consider that either when I made my purchase. So, you know, these are all things you learn as you go along. But that was my very, very first property. But it gave me the encouragement to keep going. And then I met this guy that had the $500,000, and we did a bunch of properties together. He eventually moved away and retired, and we finished out what we had together. But at that point, I'd done about 11 or 12 properties because a couple of banks knew about me. I was out there looking at properties. I was driving around looking at foreclosures. And, you know, when you close your first deal, it gives you motivation because you really start believing in yourself that you can do this. Because I never thought I could do it. And I thought, oh, my God, I'm signing a contract. Oh, my God, I'm going to have so much trouble. Oh, my gosh, oh, my gosh, oh, my gosh. So, but eventually it worked out okay. I did buy the property, and then I went on to buy many more. And then little by little, I learned about all kinds of things that go along with real estate, the loans that can be in trouble, and that you can buy the loans and refinance the loans, and you can help people and bring partnerships together. And, you know, just little by little, I learned all this stuff over a long period of time. But it's a long education curve. And certainly at the time, we had no internet. We had no ability to get the kind of information that you can get today. You have such an enormous tool. Look at what I'm doing now. I'm talking to you guys on internet radio. I mean, it's like, you know, who would ever know that this would come into being? When I was a kid, I used to think, gosh, what are they going to come up with that's going to be unique? And here we have now mobile phones and the internet and all kinds of stuff. And I'm sure the next generation will be much more advanced than we are now. So that was kind of my first transaction. I also want to tell you guys that I'm going to probably be bringing on some guests in the near future, investors, owners of property, title companies, escrow companies, attorneys, different kinds of folks that, you know, have a different outlook on each transaction because they look at it from a different point of view and they have interests at different. But it's always about networking and getting deals closed. So we'll be getting into that more and more. We'll get into all kinds of interesting subjects as we go more and more into all the things that real estate means. But everybody has their first deal, and that was mine. And it was amazingly exciting and very, very scary at the same time. I learned a whole lot. I had nobody to turn to, but I did learn how to meet people along the way, and they helped me with things I didn't know. And that's why I say to you guys, always turn to people that when you don't have an answer, turn to people that might help you. And we're happy to help you. You can always call us. Our number again is 310-358-7087. Or send us an email to F as in Frank, C as in Charlie, I as in India, at Pacbell, PACBELL.net. Or call my cell, 818-585-9706 in the United States. And if you do call us at the office or the cell, just say you heard about us on Blog Talk Radio or however you heard about us. And if you send us an email, put in the subject line that you heard about us on Blog Talk Radio. So I have about 60 seconds left. I hope this has been kind of an interesting journey for you guys to learn about my very first deal, since everybody has a first deal. And then, of course, you hopefully have a second, a third, a fourth, a fifth, and you get more confident as you go. And then you start turning around and really being willing to do much larger things and not being so scared and knowing that it's okay. And like it's sort of, as I said, when you do your first deal, it's pretty exciting and frightening experience at the same time. So I have about 30 seconds left. I want to thank everybody for coming and listening today that's been on the call. And also thanks for listening in the archives. You're welcome certainly to go through all the archives. We're going to start labeling what the shows are. And we look forward to speaking to you again. I'll be on the air probably tomorrow or early next week. Thank you. Have a great day. Success to all. Bye.